Yeah.
What's happening, my boy?
Y'all stand for OT?
I gotta get it in this week. Yeah. I just did a vacay.
That bread, bro. Y'all gotta stay for OT.
Listen up, workers. Overtime is mandatory this weekend. No excuses.
Shit like that. What's going on, people? What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? Welcome for another episode of Mandatory Overtime. I'm your main man, DJ High Star, and the place to be. How y'all doing? I was going to play my man, Devarion, again, but I'll play that at the end, though. Yeah, DJ High Star, and the place to be. What's going on, y'all? It's good. The aim here at Mandatory Overtime is, of course, for us to recalibrate manhood and redefine manhood as we see it in our community. And, you know, of course, when I say we, I mean all of us. So that's a quick shout out to all of the ladies out there, single mothers, single ladies, ladies that are taking, married women, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, daughters. Y'all are welcome to join in on the conversation, but understand, again, this is Mandatory Overtime, where we, specifically as black men, we looking to redefine what manhood is, man. So again, I'm your man in the place to be. Just simply a journal of an 80s baby, an audio journal of an 80s baby, right? Social experiment and consistency, if you will. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate that. Don't confuse this with the manosphere. It's just a place where the man is fair. So pull up a chair, like, comment, subscribe, share, and make some noise because your man is here, y'all. You know what I'm saying? They say I got a Russian sound engineer and a check 1-2. A check 1-2, or a mic check 1-2, if you will. Live from Charlotte, America. What's happening, y'all? Actually, just flew in to Charlotte, America, and boy, are my arms tired, huh? Huh? Anybody? Okay. Thought I'd start off with a joke, but now, shout out to everybody. I am just returning a couple of days ago from a vacation, a little mini vacation. Went on a cruise. You know what I'm saying? We'll be going through that and kind of recapping that trip here in a second. But how's everybody doing, man? How are y'all doing? I'm glad to be back. Got to put in this overtime. Actually, this is some overtime before I go into work this week. So this week, though, we're going to waste no time and go ahead and get it started with us building on some wisdom. So I do want to go ahead and do that.
Is that Prince or King?
Come here, Prince. What's today's mathematics?
Hey, yo, no disrespect, but we ain't in all of that, son.
Build, destroy. The build is to elevate the mentalities of self and those around self. To add positive energy to every nation. To build, you must first start from the root, which is the knowledge foundation, and add on to the highest peak. To destroy is to eliminate and destroy any and all negativity that enters my cipher of supreme harmony.
Peace, God.
Peace, God.
Come on, son.
All right, so this week we're gonna start off with some of Cousin Jerome's quotes that he sent to the family group chat. So shout out to Cousin Jerome, some early brotherly love. Let's start off here. This is a quote from James Russell Lowell. All the beautiful sentiments in the world weigh less than a single lovely action. All the beautiful sentiments in the world way less than a single lovely action. That's hard. So, you know, all of the sentiments in the world, you can say everything and mean, have the best intent and all of that, but single lovely action weighs more than that, or is heavier than that. So that's awesome. This next one: be thankful for every sunrise and grateful for every sunset, because every day is a blessing. That's tough. Not tough to do what I'm saying. It's a tough quote. Yeah, it's a tough quote. All right, there's a little slow start here this week. But the next one here, children need to get a high quality education, avoid violence in the criminal justice system, and gain jobs, but they deserve more. We want them to learn not only reading and math, but fairness, caring, self-respect, family commitment, and civic duty. And that's a quote from Colin Powell, the late great. Let's see here. And the last one here. Shout out to Cousin Jerome. Making one person smile can change the world. Maybe not the whole world, but their world. And then also, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So shout out to Cousin Jerome for consistently sending those through. I gotta let him know that he is a featured guest pretty much on the show. These next couple, I'm gonna be real with y'all. You know, after kind of globe-trotting a little bit and traveling the world. A little slight brag. Hold on. But after my adventures traversing the waters, we'll get to that in a second. I was just feeling pro-black today, y'all. All right? So extra black on the Building Wisdom, rather. These a couple of audio clips, y'all stay with me, that I got here that I want to play. So these are all random audio clips that I've reposted on X, and I wanted to share with y'all. I'm going to make plans to go ahead and put this on the social media as well. So let's start off. Here, I can't really give too much context. It looks like a sit down with a bunch of men around maybe the 80s or the 90s, because the way the video looks is so grainy. But I just want y'all to hear his brother, and he's talking to these different men of different cultures and stuff like that. All right,
each other as human, American and white and human become synonyms. That why can't we just treat each other as human beings? To me, when I hear it from a white person, it means, why can't we all just pretend to be white people? I'll pretend you're a white person, and then you can pretend to be white. Why don't you eat what I eat? Why don't you drink what I drink? Why don't you think like I think? Why don't you feel like I feel? God damn it, I'm so sick and goddamn tired of hearing about that. I'm sick of that. That's what it means to be human being to me. That's what it means to be white. That's what it means to be American. Why don't you come the hell over here? That's what I hear every goddamn day. And you know that I can't come over there. You know that this skin and that this hair and that this weight of that talk and that I think and I feel will never, ever get included, because I'm unpalatable to this goddamn nation. I'm unpalatable. You cannot swallow me. You cannot taste me. You cannot feel me, because you don't want to. You think that you can survive without me, but you can't, man. You think that, hey, it'll all be fine when we just treat each other like human beings. And what that says to me is, don't be yourself. Be like me. Keep me comfortable. Connect where I'm ready to connect. Come out to my place. Or maybe I'll come down and get some artifacts from your place. Uh-uh. That is bullshit.
Okay, talking about tough. Listen, I had to. All right, I don't want to be childish here, y'all, but I did play the gong one time because he said, you know, y'all taste or swallow us or something along those lines. But what he was, the point the brother was getting at, okay, was empathize with the black man, live in the black man's shoes, come to our world or whatnot. But he was emotional. The brother was emotional. So. That was definitely one of the major ones. I wanted to play this also with regards to HBCUs. This is Brother Tony Brown speaking in Tallahassee in 1984 with regards to HBCUs. I just want y'all to hear this with some awesome wisdom that he was dropping as well.
People don't understand. We can't be anything but black. I've never met a black student who goes to a black college because they don't like white people. We have black colleges for the same reason that Jews have Yeshiva and Brandeis, for the same reason that Catholics have Holy Cross and Notre Dame, for the same reason that the Mormons have an entire state called Utah that they have no intention of giving back to the United States. Because we live We live in a culturally pluralistic society. Now, we are going to have to teach, we who are black, are going to have to teach everyone in this society that a desegregated society means respect for everyone and every group, equality of movement, and the ability of any black student to go to any white university, the ability of any white student to go to any black university, the ability of any Jew to go to any Catholic institution, etc. That's desegregation. Desegregation does not mean the elimination of black culture. A lot of people don't understand. We can't be anything but black. And we can use all the words we want, desegregate, integrate, merge. We still are going to be black. And we who are black have decided we are not going to let anybody destroy our colleges because we cannot survive in America without them. Only 20% of black students go to black colleges. 80% of black students go to white colleges. But 7 out of 10 of the black students who go to black college graduate. 7 out of 10 black students who go to white colleges never graduate. In graduate programs at white universities, 75% of all the advanced degrees go to black students who went to black colleges. That's when black students from black colleges and black students from white colleges get together and compete. 3/4 of the advanced degrees go to those from black colleges. 1 out of every 250 black athletes at a white university graduates. The University of Georgia has graduated 6 black athletes since 1971. We're not finishing white colleges. And if we don't have black colleges, we're not going to graduate. We're not going to have a leader. People don't understand. We can't.
Bang, bang.
Shit like that. So shout out to the brother Tony Brown. To keep context on this and stuff, it was in 1984 that he was talking. And, you know, again, given those statistics and all of that stuff. So that was something else. Listen, y'all, I told y'all I was feeling pro-black. This will be the last one this week, all right? On some building wisdom. This will be the last one. Because I don't want to be overkill, but you can never be too pro-black. Let's be real. All right, so this is the last one here. It's my brother Godfrey. And it's just simple, like, Godfrey's a Nigerian, but it's like he's spent a lot of his time in New York, and he has respect for foundational black Americans, which I can respect Godfrey for. Even if you don't agree with the term of it and the you know, whatever it's labeled as, you know what we're talking about. Like, there's nothing to be naive about. People know what we're talking about when we identify. So I want y'all to hear this from Godfrey.
White musicians.
Right, let's see.
I love every black person in this country to get $1 million check and 100 acres of land. Absolutely. Are they owed that amount? 100%, if not more. Black people who would get that.
Yeah.
It would bankrupt the whole country.
For the people that built the country to make you their fucking money, all of a sudden now you worried about being bankrupt when you spend trillions of dollars on defense, trillions of dollars on unnecessary, trillions of dollars to send black men, especially to jail, trillions of dollars to drug the fuck up our whole country, trillions of dollars to fuck the food up, to fuck air up, to fuck the water up, trillions of dollars to make people sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker in this country, but you mad? We don't have the money because plain and motherfucking simple, you do not like black people. It is very obvious. For hundreds of years, we've been the most hated. Within that hatred comes the hypocrisy of loving our culture. You've made trillions off of our motherfucking culture. White musicians, all of them, have made money off of black fucking culture. All of rock, all of jazz, all the shit we created from the oppression, which is in itself. The oppression and the fucking abuse and the rape and the putting down of us, we create blues, jazz, rock and roll, reggae, ska. We invent all of that shit. And to top it off, we invent all the mod that you all use. From the video game cartridge, Henry Lawson. We got the pacemaker, Otis Boykin. We have the late Dr. Bath, who created the laser eye surgery. We have Dr. Gladys, who's still alive, who's almost 80 years old, who created GPS. We have the guy who created the algorithm for Instagram, who's a 21-year-old Ghanaian kid. We've done all this shit. Then the internet was discovered by a Nigerian guy in the 80s. Like, we've done all of this innovation, even though we've been shit on and continue to be shit on every motherfucking day, right? Because nobody wants us to live anywhere. Nobody wants us to have this unless we're playing sports for them athletically or sexually satisfying. All black people are good for. We're supposed to be at people's beck and fucking call when they want us to entertain them or make them some kind of money. But if we ask for being autonomously wealthy on our own, being autonomously having our own shit, all of a sudden everybody pitches a bitch. Everybody has a fucking hissy fit. You don't want us in your neighborhood. You don't want us in your schools. You don't want us doing anything But then when we say, hey, okay, that's cool, because Muhammad Ali said, hey, man, I love every black person.
Also, context on that. This is when, this is back when Godfrey was with Vlad. You know what I'm saying? Since then, they have had falling outs due to, you know, things that Vlad has, stances that Vlad has taken, and his hubris, in other words, and his pride, has kind of soured their friendship. But he was one of the guests that used to make me tune into Vlad because of Speaking Truth to Power. So shout out again and brotherly love to Godfrey with what he was saying there. Regardless on FBA, Nigerian, whatever part of the diaspora, that stuff that he was saying actually definitely applies. And I always, again, I always applaud him for speaking truth to power. One of the points that he was making as far as being others' entertainment is goes into the reason why I'm on the path that I am on now. Like I used to do stand up and was on a journey to do stand up. And I'll get into it on another episode in the future, probably with the whole story of kind of the climate that we were in at that time and stuff like that. It was about a decade ago. And after a while, it's like it wasn't fun having white people or entertaining and have white people laugh at me, not knowing if they was laughing at me or laughing with me. I'll be real. You know what I'm saying? But that was the reason that slowed down. But after a decade of prayer, I suppose, and looking for my purpose, here we are, y'all. I'm going to give y'all these jokes on this microphone here in this podcast, all right? So that will cut out building wisdom segment with that shout out. Now, we do have an email. Wanted to go ahead and pull this up and go over our email while I am pulling this up. Shout out to our brother Fat Boy. And after, you know, reading that email over and over and over again after I recorded last week, I figured what he was saying and the saying that we're going to go with whenever Fat Boy actually writes in is going to be, y'all irritating Ronnie. All right. So stop irritating Ronnie. All right. If you know, you know. So let's go ahead and get to our emails for the week. Let's see here. Got one right before I went on my vacation last week. So this one is titled, Get It Off Your Chest. Hello, DJ. Wait, hold on. My fault, y'all. Hold on. Here we go. Get It Off Your Chest. Hello, DJ High Star. You know what saying? Okay. Hello, DJ High Star. You know what saying I absolutely hate? Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Because what are we even talking about? Insert Ice Cube meme. Insert the Ice Cube meme from Menace. Shut up, bitch. Let's see here. Sounds like some Dr. Seuss shit. So ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Just had to get that off my chest. Love your show, by the way. K, bye. Love you. R.E.B. Well, first and foremost, thank you, R.A.B., and love you too, R.A.B. I appreciate you showing love. So, yeah, man, shout out to R.A.B. If y'all don't know, that's one of the producers for the show and also my lady. That's who I went on the cruise with and was cruising with. So thank you for the email. We appreciate that. So, yeah, let's go back to that real quick. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. I mean, if we're getting serious, or if I'm doing my version of Ish from the Joe Budden podcast where he takes the jokes and gets serious with it. Just essentially, you know, niggas is normally hunting the rabbits. So whenever the person is getting hunted is the one, you know. So, but nevertheless, I get exactly what you're saying. Definitely Cat in the Hat. Like, it reminds me of some different sayings. Like when I ask a older fella, hey man, what's going on, how you doing, he'd be like, shit, I can't call it, I might spoil it, youngin. You know what I'm talking about, you know, and they doing shit like that. So that's what that reminds me of. But yeah, I appreciate you writing into the show. Definitely Fat boy. He took up the $10 drink money, so I wasn't able to. But nah, I'll make that up to you. I appreciate you writing in again. Shout out to our producer, Ari B, is how she signed off. So that shall be her character name, I suppose, for the show, y'all. Shout out to Ari B. But so we're going to get to this week's show here in a minute. But we're going to go ahead and recap, I think, the cruise. So that's the thing. We went on a cruise to celebrate her birthday. That's one of the November birthdays that's been happening. Also, she's got a cousin, her mother, my cousin in November, my great-grandmother as well. God bless. We've got a fat boy, and then we've got my big Cliff as well that'll be celebrating. So a lot of birthdays again in November. Shout out. So we were on the cruise celebrating a birthday. While on the cruise, y'all know I had to get off some random thoughts, though. Come on. Come on. Y'all know that. So what I'll do this week with the random thoughts and get it off your chest, it's kind of a mix, or be blending in just stuff from the trip, just notes from the road trip. And then also we'll be introducing a new segment here in a minute where we're going to go ahead and and we'll talk about the trip a little bit more as well. Let's see here. So my random notes, let's see here. All right, y'all. This is the first one. That first one. This leftover one from last week is a little bit morbid. So we won't do that one, but I do want to do this one with y'all. Carnival has gotta retire. There's two songs that Carnival gotta retire. It's great karaoke songs, great tracks for you to have at the kickback. But we gotta retire first and foremost this right here on the send off for the send off parties. I'm sorry, y'all. I apologize. I don't want to be the party pooper. I don't want to be the guy to say it. All right, I don't want to be that guy. And rest in peace, Whitney. Shout out to our legends, all of our ancestors. But we gotta, come on. Maybe that's me being grumpy because it's a timeless track. But come on, Carnival. We gotta switch it up. And the next track that we need to go ahead and retire. This is the thing about it. Every now and then. Now they'll have a nice, you know, a Vietnamese, perhaps Cambodian, Filipino. I'm not trying to. I'm being inclusive, y'all. But they'll do that at maybe the dinner. You know what I'm saying? They might do it at the send-off party or whatnot to get everybody. Look, we don't need that, yo. We don't need that. Right? I'm gonna take the beginning of this song. Y'all know that the breakdown and all. Listen, I'm just saying. When we really think about what, because you still could hear Ike's voice, when we really think about what this song, not what it represents, but just, I think Ike used to tell her that she better sing this song. Yeah, man, sing this song right. Would it be consequences? Like, I don't want this. I'm not trying to play this at Carnival, y'all. Every night and every day. So that's all I'm saying, y'all. I don't want the estates to pursue legal action after me. So let me just stop there. That was my first random thought with being on the cruise. Yes, we was on Carnival, by the way, which I have no problems with out there, y'all. It is absolutely the Walmart of the seas. It's the Spirit of the seas, if you will, the Frontier Airlines of the seas. But one thing about it is you're going to have some fun. Might be a lot of kids and stuff like that running around, and you'll be at your wit's end by the end of the cruise and ready to go. But you're going to have a lot of fun. So, you know, shout out. Let me see here. Okay, so that was my first random thought, y'all. I'm going to save this next one. This next one, well, no. So I had a couple of get it off your chest mixed in with random thoughts. So the other random thought is there was an LGBT like presence on the cruise ship. It's just, there's nothing surprising or alarming about that, but there was like a group, like it might have been like a conference or something going on, that like they took a group trip, like it's a group of them. So I put this down as random thought. It's not, niggas don't have a uniform per se, but there are patterns. It's double entendre. But there are patterns that you'll see and trends that you'll see. So one that I noticed is, you know, in 2025 is like not necessarily the meteor man hair, but the dark brown, like a dark brown copper. When that, like when you're intentionally dyeing your hair dark brown or copper, I don't know if that's a sign, like upside down pineapple is on a cruise and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, I noticed that pattern. You know, it's like I said, they don't have a uniform, but there's signs. Okay. Next up, let's see in the random thoughts. Jelly Roll is definitely the new karaoke choice. Yeah, so I said Jelly Roll. I meant to say Teddy Swims. It's Teddy Swims. And it's just that one track. Y'all know the track that I'm talking about. But he's kind of got the cruise ships in a chokehold with this one, y'all. All right. Here's new Teddy Swims, Lose Control on radio. All of that. I mean, you know, we love a white boy with soul, some blue eyed soul. So, tearing the skin of my bones, don't you know I need him? Ain't had a one name. When you're not next to me. So, you know, that's the part. As a DJ, we drop the fader. We let y'all, as a crowd, drop the fader. So that's just, I noticed that. That was an observation I made out there on the cruise ship. That Teddy Swims, Jelly Roll, whichever big white boy with tattoos and starts singing goes, you know what I mean? It goes. I think Teddy Swims used to be a rapper, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. That might have been Jelly Roll. But anyway, nevertheless, that was another one. This one is kind of near and dear to my heart. Shout out to Fat Boy. But down there on the cruise, especially because we left from Florida and there was a lot of Floridians on there, but niggas with wicks definitely feel invincible whenever No Fly can come on. Like, they, you know, y'all know. As soon as the beat dropped in the, because Carnival, they got clubs and stuff like that. So as soon as they went to it, it's like a scene out of They Clone Tyrone, y'all. Oh, man. All you saw was gold teeth. I'm not lying. All you saw. Shining gold teeth with the lights from the club shining off the gold teeth. I was a little nervous at first, but hey man, these are my people. What am I scared about? But yeah, so now No Flocking, that's definitely any nigga with wicks, that's y'all national anthem or whatever. I noticed that when I was down there. All right, so I want to talk these next two, or is get off your chest vibes. So this first one, I am a victim of this. I noticed me doing this on the cruise ship, and which compelled me to write this down, y'all. But it's just grinds my gears. I got to get this off my chest because it pisses me off. But it's when somebody starts talking, when you interacting with somebody that's not from your heritage or your culture, and from a different culture or whatnot, and that person, and you start talking in their accent, thinking that they'll understand your English a little bit better. Nigga. So, like, and again, this is me reflecting, because I do it all the time. But, you know, we was on the cruise. I'm like, yes, you like it. Like, that's damn near disrespectful. That's insulting to these people. And it's like, I have to realize that in real time, you know, speaking with whoever. And it's like, yes, my name is Jerome. Hey, how are you? Yeah. Can I have a steak? How you say a steak? And take that monkey off. You're embarrassing us. All right. Shout out to Pimp C. But I was wilding with regards to that. And that, again, that made me, you know, you be down here, you go into the gas station. Hello, my friend. How are you doing? I'm just joking on that. That was a little too far. I took that one a little too far. Sorry, y'all. What may I have? What is it, Vadu? Vadu? Mr. Patel, can I? $50 on pump for it? All right. Or like you go into whatever. You in a Mexican restaurant or a Spanish place, whatever like that, for Taco Tuesday. And you're like, yes, margarita, please. Por favor, margarita or un margarita with tequila. So, and I'm not gonna do that. AB, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna loud you out about what you. All right, we all just know that we all have our moments. All right. And I was in full effect. I was in vacation mode. Might have had a little bit to drink, and I turned into a whole new nigga. Like, I was speaking a different. I had a whole different accent. All right. So, anyways, moving forward, the next thing that I have to get off my chest is whenever somebody has to go out their way and say, "Yo, I'm a realist." Okay. Y'all know anybody like that? Like, I'm a realist, dog. What does that mean? Does it mean that you're around fakists? Or like, saying that you're a realist would be indicative, or it would indicate that there are fakists out there, right? And I agree, there's a lot of people that exhibit fake activity. But when you telling me, or you including it in a conversation that we're having, that you're a realist, or I'm just a realist, dog, I'm just be real, I'm a realist, what does that mean about me? That I'm fake? And when people do say that, there's some points on that I could give you. Certain ways you're a realist. When you say you're a realist, you look real stupid. Okay? You look real ignorant. You look real negative. We've never heard somebody say, "I'm a realist," when it comes to some positive, any kind of positive energy. It's always like, "Yo, dog, you want black people to get reparations? Man, that ain't happening, dog. I'm a realist, dog. I'm a realist. I mean, I don't know about y'all. I'm a realist. You said what? Mamdani was going to get free buses? Nah, there's no way that they could do that. Where they going to get the money from? I'm just a realist." So, yeah, this all stemmed and was rooted from me listening to Joe Budden's podcast, yada, yada, yada. But, right. But my dog Ish, man, he never fails to amaze me. But he goes on this rant about being a realist this week. And again, I don't know what that means. And I don't have any other connotation but meaning that you're a pessimist whenever I hear that. That's all it sounds like. So yeah, I'm a realist thing, that's something I had to get off my chest. And the last thing I had to get off my chest this week is, old fashion shits on new fashion, man. I know we don't want to get back into the fashion thing, and shout out to my bro Sock. He did tell me, I want to say boy name was like Sean Markman or Sean Marks or something like that. That I was talking about the other week, from Baylor. However, I have to say this. This is not like my generation versus a younger generation. I'm talking about in general old school fashion, older fashion. To me, shits on new fashion. And where I'm like, not in streetwear and like a chic or casual. And some of that can definitely compete, some of that stuff. But I don't think the chic casual with a lot of wool and knit. I can't from the 70s and stuff. I can't get with that. But I'm specifically talking about coaches, NFL and NBA coaches, man. I was watching the NBA game last night. I don't like it, y'all. I don't like the quarter zip, dry fit pullover that all of the coaches have. They look like assistant coaches, or you look like you're the shooting coach or whatever like that. It doesn't give head coach vibes. All right. Now shout out to Donnie Nelson. All right. Shout out to good old Donnie Nelson. You guys do your research and all of that. But shout out to Donnie Nelson. He was the first to break the mold of the suits and all of that stuff on the sideline. But the way that he was doing it, he was wearing white man jeans, a good pair of Air Monarchs, a polo, if you will, no jacket, all right, no blazer. Y'all do the research. If I'm wrong, y'all can correct me. Now, also, first time that I'm plugging this whole episode, make sure that y'all email the show, mandatoryot704@gmail.com. Again, that's mandatoryot704@gmail.com. And then we'll make sure that we get your emails read. But also, I want to go ahead and say that y'all can call up 704-781-7011. 704-781-7011. And leave a voicemail as well. But real quickly, back to the NFL and NBA coaches. Like I said, it's just something that I just noticed in you know, it's the older guy in me. It's the old fart in me. I'm still traditional whenever it comes to NFL. I'm looking for y'all to kick the field goal if we're in field goal range. Stupid me, right? I'm looking for different things like that. So that was my last thing to get off my chest. If y'all have anything at all that y'all need to get off y'all chest, or just random thoughts in general, feel free to email us once again. MandatoryOT704@gmail.com. MandatoryOT704@gmail.com. With that being said, though, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Actually wanted to move forward in a new segment for us, where we go ahead and go into the break room and take a lunch. All right, we're going to call this segment Out for Lunch. And for our Out for Lunch segment, what we're going over today is the eats from the, you know, going on a cruise and stuff like that. So leaving for the cruise, we stopped at Bucky's. If anybody familiar with Bucky's, especially all of my listeners out of the Florence area, y'all know what time it is with Bucky's. All right. All right. So Bucky's, outside of being famous or whatever it is. Yeah. Having world famous, super clean restrooms, they also have world famous brisket in there. And so that they're kind of chopping up round the clock and getting brisket sandwiches, fresh brisket sandwiches together. So we enjoyed some brisket sandwiches. They carve them up fresh every day. So you're either going to have sliced or you'll have chopped brisket. Going down, we had the chopped brisket. Barbecue sauce with the brisket being tender. The good fat to meat ratio on there or whatnot. Again, we're not doing a pause, but yeah, awesome brisket sandwich, delectable, right? Chef's kiss. Got a couple of little snacks and things like that, knickknacks from there. Also, though, while we went on the cruise, a couple of my things, reasons that I rock with Carnival, some of the food that they have available, I can't get away from. Guy Fieri's Smash Burgers is one of them. It's made and plentiful, and they're quick, fast, and then you top your burger how you like to at their toppings bar. But that Guy Fieri's burger, any Carnival cruisers know what I'm talking about with that. That joint, chef's kiss. I think if they ended up doing like a brick and mortar restaurant and something that was on land, it just wouldn't hit the same. It's something about getting that free burger at any time whenever they open. But also they have the Laguna Cantina, on the ship. Oh man, that's one of my favorite spots as well. In the morning time, what they have available for you is breakfast burritos. You dress it up yourself. Tell them what you want. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's eggs or Mexican style eggs with some, you know what I mean? However, whatever it is in there, tomatoes and peppers, whatever. Got your option of your protein and, you know, your chicken, sausage, this and that. But then on the other side, they got huevos rancheros. Huh? Huevos rancheros y arepas for your breakfast food. So that huevos rancheros is pretty much a breakfast taco that's opened up with a fried egg on the top of it, chef's kiss. And then for lunchtime, they got, you know, tacos there as well. So outside of that, you got your buffet. And the last thing, again, for our out to lunch segment while we're here in the break room. Well, two more things. But the last thing about the cruise ship that I wanted to go over with y'all. I may do this on another episode if we kind of deep dive a little bit more into Carnival Cruises. But when you are eating at the regular restaurant for dinner, a lot of ships, they have a sunrise restaurant or the whatever the restaurant is called. But the fancy restaurant that they have when you're eating there, not the buffet, that's included in your cruise. But then you get upcharged on that menu for certain items. My recommendation and my little cruise hack is that's where you order your steak items or your, you know, whatever items that they got there from the steakhouse, you order it there. It costs about $25 for the upcharge. But if you go to the steakhouse for a dining experience, it costs $52 per person. So you get the same entree. I'm just saying, little cruise hack, just to let y'all know, you're welcome. All right. That's for all my cruisers and anybody that's going on any Carnival cruises anytime soon. So last thing on the out for lunch part of our show today is on the way back, we were able to stop. I stopped in Orangeburg, home of Claflin University, of course. Shout out to Claflin. And we stopped at a Piggly Wiggly, the hot food bar. If you know, you know. And if you're from South Carolina, you know. But if you catch any Piggly Wiggly with a hot food bar, depending on the location, you know, if you're in the country or if you by that coast, by Charleston somewhere, you're in good hands. So, you know, it depends on what they'll have on the hot bar. It depends on the day. We struck up on some fried chicken. They had fried chicken available, baked chicken, had pork chops. They had some pulled barbecue. And then for the sides, they had some rice and gravy. They had macaroni and cheese available at the bottom of a macaroni and cheese pan and like some broccoli cheese casserole, if you will. So while we was in line, the beautiful thing about it was a lady coming in and damn near cursing out everybody in the back because the macaroni and cheese was low and stuff. I know y'all about to bring out some more macaroni and cheese because this too low. Now listen, let me just say this, y'all. I'm not cosplaying or trying to like mock our sisters and stuff like that. I'm just saying she was loud, she was aggressive, and she was funny at the end of the day. But don't y'all don't because we got a whole episode that's going to be coming up about our black comedians and their obsession with cosplaying as black women. Hello. But that's a conversation for another podcast. This particular day, I'm talking about this woman, this isolated incident at Piggly Wiggly, but she was on their ass about that macaroni and cheese because it was only corners left of it, if you will. So that was very entertaining. But the food itself, it was just I did my little Mr. Chime Time type of review with it. Maybe perhaps I'll get the footage. I think I may have reviewed one or two items from there, like the fried chicken and the baked chicken. But we'll see. We'll see. But that's what we got for our new segment for Out to Lunch this week. It was, or out for lunch rather, Bucky's, the Piggly Wiggly, and that cruise food. Now, I went down to Charleston on the way back, see my dad, and he's chilling down there, of course. My dad's my dad. And him and RAB, they got to get some Ye Olde Fashioned, as far as we grab a salad from Ye Olde Fashioned. And Ye Olde Fashioned, if you know, you know. If you're from Charleston or the Low Country, y'all know about Ye Olde Fashioned. And very long-standing establishment known for their ice cream and their shakes. But their burgers as well and all of that type of stuff. So, yeah, they went there, but also down in Charleston, I got to visit my dog, Taz. So, my big dog, Taz, one of my pro fights, fellow Omega member, right? Omega man. He, I visited him. I try to make it a point to visit my peoples when I get down there. And come to find out, now Taz, he's older man, but he has gotten into streaming. So first of all, I want to show some brotherly love though also to him. Found a hobby. And I'm talking about got the whole setup, y'all, the racing car, everything. Got the, like, as far as the seat and the simulation steering wheel with the brakes and the gas and all of that. So I'm telling y'all, the layout is dope. And chilling with him, he told me again he's on Twitch and also on YouTube, so I gotta shout my dog out and give y'all his page on YouTube so that y'all will at least follow on there, because he is hilarious. So he's clipping everything from Twitch and putting it on YouTube, but my dog is hilarious. His name is Taz Turismo on Twitch. Give me 1 second. Let me go ahead and pull this up. All right. Appreciate the patience. So my dog Taz Turismo on Twitch. It's TazzTurismo. Like no spaces. TazzTurismo, and there's no spaces. I want to see if I can get a little clip of kind of what some of his shorts and stuff like that on one of his daily races. But yeah, this is my dog right here, y'all.
I'm just gonna outrace you, bitch.
Well, how you pass me with the yellow flag, bro?
Just gonna outrace you, bitch.
Yeah, so it's good. It's a lot of that, right? He's literally, I'm talking about, he decked out my dog, got the racing gloves, all of that. And whenever we was talking, he was giving me a lot of just the reasons and stuff that this has been enhancing his life and stuff, and in a real good release for him, if you will, right? So we were both talking about that, because I was telling him about this and how this has proven to be a passion project for me and an awesome way for me to get all of my, you know, again, my passions and stuff out, whether it's my love for the rap game and hip hop, or whether it's comedy and stuff like that. I'm able to get on. One thing that he said to me, though, that stands out and that I kind of always want us to remember is, I'm paraphrasing, so forgive me, Taz, but he essentially said, you can't spell community without unity. That shit was so hard, bro. You can't spell community without unity. And I just that was one of the big things I took away from our conversation. But y'all make sure that y'all follow my big dog Taz.
Show on there, up, nigga.
Show him some love.
Nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
And y'all make sure y'all follow his journeys, especially if you're on Twitch or if you're on like Gran Turismo 7 or Crew Motorfest or Forza F1, any of these racing games. You're likely to see him in these simulation streets getting it popping. So definitely shout out to my big dog, my pro fight, Taz, or whatnot. All right. Fire one over. Pardon me, go over that with y'all. As far as Taz go. So next, I did want to talk. Max B is home, y'all. Bigavelli, the wave god. I didn't do a lot of prep with that. Just look, y'all, he's home. He's had his kids come and see him and, you know, meet him at the jail. French Montana was there. They've, you know, dripped him out. He's gained some weight, got the prison weight on him. Max B has done like 16 years, y'all. Y'all know my stance on losing momentum when you're behind them walls and everything like that. You know, I'm curious to hear the music, but I'm not uber excited, I would say, to hear the music. I want Max to get back used to just life here out in the free world and, you know, get to it, be with his family and stuff like that. No, nothing bad to say towards Max, but I'm just not excited and ready and running to a new Max B song and looking to put the Wave God back up. I think my consistent, perhaps it comes off as frustration, but my consistent stance on these rappers or artists or athletes, whoever, that get locked up and go into the system, is that time is not stopping first and foremost, but we can't go back and catch a moment. You know what I'm saying? We can't go back and catch a moment or catch a wave. That's not it. So we got to recreate, right? We got to reinvent ourselves. And I think a lot of people that'll get out, instead of looking to reinvent themselves, they look to re-catch that wave that they had back then. So that's my biggest thing with any artist. But shout out to Max B. I've always been a fan, of course. And I pray that everything, you know, that you're prosperous and stuff like that when you come home. Everybody, okay, this is another thing. Nah, hold on, y'all. Hold on, y'all.
Let me work. Please let me work.
Can we please stop making these jewelers rich, y'all? Somebody got to say it now. Somebody got to say it. Can we stop as soon as we touch down? We making jewelers rich? Come on, yo. $100,000 chains and all of that and 200. It would be fly to me. I cannot. I'm just saying this hypothetically. I'm not saying that I wish for this to happen. I want to see this happen. But it would be fly to me to see a brother get keys to some land, to a building that they own now and stuff like that, versus getting a chain when they first come out, chaining day. And then, yo, can we put together 10 grand for the next guy that graduate college? We be giving the rappers and the athletes and everybody that get out of jail $100,000, $200,000 just so that they can give it back to the Indian man that put together the jewelry, or to these designer stores and the designer boutique houses and stuff like that, and blow that shit in the first week, man. Come on, yo. That's my only thing with the whole welcome back rapper starter kit type thing. Like, only thing is missing was a first day out freestyle. But come on, man. Come on. We grown. Come on. We fighting against that arrested development, y'all. Y'all know what time it is. But yeah, shout out to the Wave, Big Avell, Max B. There's a whole bunch of different, you know, things that we could talk about with that as far as the Jim Jones stuff and all of that with it. But, you know, I just, again, salute to that brother for being home. Had to stand tall behind the walls, everything like that. Speaking of being behind the walls, I want to go ahead and talk about a young brother that's back there behind the walls. He was spotted in a picture with Diddy a few weeks back, but my brother Sebastian Telfair. Sebastian Telfair is from Coney Island. He is the younger cousin of Stephon Marbury. Was a young prodigy, basketball prodigy out of New York, considered the best point guard in New York at one point in time whenever I was coming up in high school. I was already down south, by the way, at that point, but my cousin, of course, my family's from Queens and from Brooklyn. So my cousin, he was playing at Grady High School at the time and a standout for Grady. And Grady is in Brooklyn and Lincoln's rival, so we was very familiar with Sebastian Telfair, and I believe Sebastian Telfair was right after my cousin and played high school ball, so maybe like soon after. But also with Sebastian Telfair, he played LeBron, of course, in a lot of those ABCD camps and tournaments and stuff like that back then. I want y'all, Sebastian, again, he's gotten locked up for probation violation. There's a couple of things I want to play from a reality show that he's released on the heels of him going into, and you know, while he's been locked up and everything, they've kind of released this. I have mixed feelings about the show itself. I'm glad of the publicity and the shine that it may be giving him. I hope that it's harnessed in the right way so that they could turn that into capital, turn that into some way to support his family and stuff while he's locked up. But I do want to play a couple of these because y'all know we talk about Arrested Development all the time. We talk about just real tenets of manhood all the time. So I did want to bring this up to y'all attention. These are a couple of clips from here. I want to start off with him kind of explaining why he has to go back in and what's going on. But let's go ahead and play this, y'all. Here you go.
When I get back. Getting sentenced for the healthcare fraud with the NBA was completely terrible timing for me because I just got off the state case. I got sentenced to 3 years probation and I couldn't mentally do all the stuff they was asking me to do. They was like, go get a 9-to-5. Daily are telling me to go to McDonald's and get a job. So the first year, I just didn't do my probation. And they sentenced me for 6 months.
Y'all be skipping leg day, you heard?
But after that, the judge gave me 2 months to basically put an appeal in, which me and my lawyer did. So these last few weeks, I've been basically waiting for an answer from the judge.
I parked my bike outside.
All right, so y'all heard that he said the probation that they was essentially that it was unrealistic for him to get a job as a former millionaire, and again that comes with humility, that comes with putting our pride, our ego to the side, that hubris and stuff like that. You got to put that to the side. These kids got to eat. So that was him explaining again what happened. He violated probation. He wasn't showing up. He just simply wasn't showing up to probation and didn't skip out on probation for that first year. And he got sentenced to 6 months for skipping out. Now, anybody that's in and out of the judicial system, they understand how that goes. And they're very familiar with that, with probation and the visits. And as far as with following up and keeping up with your probation, paying for it, let alone all that stuff. So, again, no excuses. I'm not. I hate to say it like this, but I'm not feeling sorry. I don't empathize or feel sorry for the situation. I empathize with you being separated from your children, but come on, we got to do better. You getting in your way. You've been getting in your way. This is another clip that I want to play from here. Let's go ahead and take a listen to it. Let's see here, another clip.
August 12th at noon.
On one of the charges of the violation, she was saying.
Email is basically telling me that the judge has denied my appeal and I have to turn myself in August 12th at noon.
On one of the charges of the violation, she was saying something that she wanted you to be employed, how you was unemployed.
Who with $1 million going to be able to go work at McDonald's mentally? How the fuck? Tell me.
So what I'm tripping on, this is a victimless crime. Nobody got actually hurt.
This NBA shit. This is basically me tampering with my own account type shit.
I'm still not understanding the healthcare shit. I'm just not understanding that.
So in the NBA, we got 10 different accounts. One of the accounts is a supplement account for healthcare. As you know, all the accounts was locked.
My gun case in 2017 affected my finances because I was in the process of going through my divorce. They go through the finances and start doing the stuff for my divorce, and that's what got my accounts locked. You know, I let it really get dry where it's like, we can't go get nothing to eat. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sitting in the living room like, how am I come up with that money? And I get that call from T-Will, like, I could get access to your account. So I'll be reliving that moment all the time, like, damn.
I need this money, right? I'm in the middle of a trial, they're trying to lock me up for license firearms. I'm in the middle of a divorce, I got my accounts locked, whoop-de-doo. And I couldn't even use my money to get out of jail. So, swear to God, my mother had to bail me out. Yeah. Yes, my project fucking mother had to fucking spend $500,000 to bail me out.
He wasn't stealing nobody else's money. He was taking your money and giving you access to your own money.
So, yeah. So, they said I robbed my old self. So, the person I took the money from is me when I get older.
So, why you just tell me you don't want to live that long? You
I don't know, but it still never make no sense. And I told him, when this money first came out,
I'm going to cut their wisdom. I like this comment that came up. It said, bro allergic to accountability. Yeah, essentially. Y'all heard that. And that's his brother that he's talking to. They just finished a workout out there on Coney Island. And again, his brother is pacifying him. I want to say really is, you know, that behavior fuels entitlement and stuff. So prayers to Sebastian, you know, get through this definitely. And I hope that you have, you know, a different outlook and stuff like that when you do get out. But prayers up, dog. Prayers up for you and your family, especially with that. So what are y'all thoughts about Sebastian Telfair with the situation? Y'all make sure y'all let me know. Email the show, mandatoryot704@gmail.com, or hit us on the phone line, 704-781-7011. Let me know y'all thoughts on the Sebastian Telfair situation. Very tragic, so I just want to watch my words and stuff and watch how I come at the situation. But at the same time, I do want to hold us accountable and let us use these opportunities to take, you know, and learn lessons in humility, learn lessons in pride and excessive pride, again, and getting in our own way and getting out of our own way. So, again, shout out to Seabass, as we used to call him, you know what I mean, Bassy. And then we're going to move forward. Matter of fact, let's go back in the break room. Wait, hold on. Got to go back in the break room for this one, y'all. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but this is breaking news. Kinda, you know, y'all know me, an avid Joe Budden fan and Joe Budden listener, so I'm very familiar and a fan also of Rory and Maul, or used to be a fan of Maul before the Kendrick and the Drake battle. He turned into a different person during that battle, but nevertheless, while I was preparing the show and everything like that, their co-host Damaris sparked it all off on my boy Screwface John. And Screwface, boy, it's on you. But they sparked it off on Screwface John's page. Screwface, known Kendrick enthusiast, if you will, pro Kendrick. And she was pretty much commenting on something. But Screwface said in his post, you know, I don't think this girl really likes Kendrick that much. And in her response, I'm paraphrasing all of this, y'all, but her response to him was, you know, y'all are so weird on here. Like, I never said that don't like Kendrick and this and that and whatever. And so a young lady replied to that and said, yeah, you said it out your own mouth that you hate Kendrick's voice and that you don't like his music and this and that. And then so Damaris goes back, you know, again, show me exactly where I said that I hate Kendrick's voice and that I don't like Kendrick and this and that. And then the internet did what the internet does. Let me just say, like, it was in real time that I was watching it, but they pretty much, they found the clip. The clip says verbatim, I hate Kendrick Lamar's voice. I hate, you know, this and that about Kendrick Lamar. It was hilarious because she got caught in 4K essentially, right? So Damaris, to her credit rather, she stayed and endured all of the online vitriol and all of that stuff and or whatnot up until she didn't. So she went private, went ahead and shut down got shut down. But let me play the clip after she says what she says. She says, show me where verbatim I said, like she said, show me where I said verbatim I hate his voice. Not a fan is what I remember saying. I listen to Kendrick's music. I do not hate Kendrick. I said multiple times I respect him and that he deserves what he gets. I've been very impartial. This narrative starting to irritate me. Y'all aren't the victims. That's what she said, y'all, right? It is. Here go the clip.
Change our minds. We're not fucking Kendrick Lamar fans. I've said on every platform possible, I hate the way Kendrick Lamar raps. I hate the sound of his fucking voice.
Same. I hate his voice.
I hate his voice. And I will not listen to him again simply because I hate the sound of his voice. It does not take away from the talent.
So the internet started getting on her about that and roasting her. And then her co-host got caught in the fire. Now, mind y'all, Rory, he's first of all, mind y'all, it's not tough to hate Maul because Maul makes it so easy. Let's just say that. So they started pulling up tweets from Rory, and that's when it started getting a little bit ugly. It was older, and Maul, he's doubling down on all of this stuff, but it was older tweets that Rory said. Not to mention, Rory is a Kappa, so he's got a couple, 5/16/2011. How many poor little Indian children are bald because of Nicki Minaj's career? December 19, 2013. There wasn't a comb on any of these video sets for Blue's hair. And then I just want y'all to hear some of the Twitter space that was opened up. This is all hilarious, y'all. And I probably apologize for dragging on this show because I'm going to end here in a second. But I want to play some of this for y'all. It's hilarious.
Rory,
there's nothing that you can do. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if you're just in spaces just like because you want to talk, but there's nothing that you can say to change these people's mind because they don't know you. And on top of that, it's not like Rory's tweet shit.
So that's the marriage resurfaced,
and now there's a whole group of people that want to find out what Rory cares about. They don't like you because they think you don't like Kendrick, so they're not going to like you no matter what you say. There's no cleaning up here. So that's why I'm like, are you in here just to kick it? Because if so, like, you can just go like do something better, because they're not here to like, you know what I'm saying, really hear you out. They don't give a fuck. They've painted a narrative about you. You back that narrative up with some stupid fucking tweets. They weren't around for the time. You can't explain it. There's nothing you can do. Like, you're not going to apologize because you know you didn't say anything worth like really apologizing for, and you're not going to give an ingenuine apology because you're not sorry because you didn't mean any harm. So I don't know.
Yeah, you was caught in 4K deleting them tweets. Talk about that. Yo. Why were you hiding them?
Yeah, after Kate
was going, you hiding them?
I think we need to turn the entire thing on you. You know, Blue Weave is not Blue Ivy.
Why were you hiding them tweets? You were not turning shit up.
Do you know that?
Why were you hiding your tweets?
Hide what tweet?
Oh, now you don't know. Rocky,
I got a question.
Sorry,
would you tweet any of these tweets today?
Which ones?
Any of them.
I said
the ones that everybody's offended by.
Hey, so they pretty much brought
one or
Rory,
two. I've said I've joked about court. On the podcast already. I've definitely talked about the Beyonce thing on the podcast before.
See how he fucked it up.
But she's asking you today, Rory, not 7 years ago.
Rory, you gotta have better answers. Come on, bro.
But see, look, this is the thing. I gotta edit this shit a little bit better, y'all, but that's what happens. Listen, I know, and my boy Rory, he's been adjacent to the culture long enough that he feels like, I guess, that he has equity or stake. But also, at the same time, him and Damaris, again, they both took responsibility of what they felt was accountability for the situations that they got caught up in. And it just wasn't enough. So that is just something to point out for y'all. So brotherly love to Rory. He needs it right now. Brotherly love to Sebastian Telfair. Let's see here. Brotherly love to who is it that I was tuned in recently to heavy? But always brotherly love to Read My Soul, my brother Read My Soul down there in South Carolina. Antonio Speaks, of course. I'm always big you up, brother. Brotherly love. Let's see here. Screwface John, like I told y'all. My boy Screwface.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
Brotherly love to my brother JB, of course, man. It's my brother, Dr. Justin Buford. Y'all be on the lookout. He's going to be helping me out with our merchandise and stuff like that. So I just wanted to say that. Let me make sure I don't got anything else. I'm going to, kind of cut us here. We look like we're at about time. Oh, yeah. So the next... I'll get a little bit political on the next show. We'll be able to discuss some of this stuff, the 50-year mortgage proposals and the $2,000 tariff checks that are being proposed and stuff like that. We'll go through that. But in the meantime, I want to end us off, of course, with a prayer. And of course, something that's supreme with supreme faith that's in God. This is a prayer that's straight from the heart. May the ego and the hubris never break us apart. And from one brother to another, if nobody ever told you before, I love you. All right, man, I appreciate y'all as usual. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening and tuning in. And catch us on the next episode of Mandatory OT. Remember to email us at mandatoryot704@gmail.com. mandatoryot704@gmail.com. And again, catch us on the next episode of Mandatory OT. All right. Peace.
Hey, everybody. It's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, yeah, that's all she wrote. Man, about time, man. What you getting into this weekend, man? Nothing, bro. I'm locked in, man. I signed up for that overtime they put on the wall over there. Like, you not leaving with us right now? Yep. Four shifts, man. Yep. Didn't nobody want it. I ain't never heard. Is that legal? Can you work four consecutive shifts? They might as well put me in bed in a break room. No, I just thought you was gonna be leaving because, you know, our kids' graduation
right,
tonight.
Is graduation putting money in my pocket? Is graduation paying my bills?
Exactly. Come on, man. Exactly.
My check gonna have 160 hours on it. It's only 168 hours in a week. I slept an hour and 14 minutes every day in between these shifts. What? Locked in.
Come on. You can go see your kid walk across the stage or whatever, but that's important to you. Overtime, locked in. That's what's important to me.
Come on, man. It ain't about nothing else.
I'm gonna have more kids and more stages to walk across.